Good morning and welcome, everybody. I'm going to be chairing today's session. And before I introduce Hakeem, I'd just like to preface the occasion with a few words. 4 years ago, we were invited to take part in a number of weeks here to discuss what was happening here and discuss looking at the future, and that those 2 months of weeks culminated in a weekend where a lot of things came together and some groups were set up, including the development group, and from that came things like the Discovering Unity courses that have been held throughout the world, and the 2-year modular course, which just came to its completion this summer. Then last October, the people who were here then entered into a in-house sabbatical retreat for 2 months in October and November in preparation for the relaunch of the 6-month course in October this year. And following that retreat, we were again invited to come, we were all invited to come and take part in weeks of retreat and study, which happened from December through, and this last week has seen the last of this series of weeks, in which many of the things that came up, that are coming up in, with regard to the change that is felt, were discussed and gone through. And this convocation, again, is in a way a culmination and part of that same process that was begun 4 years ago. Now, the way the weekend has been arranged, loosely, should we say, is that this morning we are talking about the past, or we are referring to the past, let's say. And in respect to that, I'd just like to look back a little on an event that took place before Chisholm, before Sherborne, Swire, even before we used the word Bishara, at a meeting in a flat in West London where a number of people gathered and Bolent answered questions that people put to him. And out of this questioning came something that which we now refer to as the four pills. What happened was he had been giving responses to people's questions, and then there was after about nearly an hour, there was a pause, and he then spoke, and he said, just without prompting, everything is of one thing. There is no other thing except this one thing. There is no possibility of communing or communicating or going back to that one thing through nothing. Therefore, you have to build into something and then reach. So, I mention this because it seems the one common denominator that has brought us here today and in which we are in essential agreement is this: there is only one thing and no other thing. So that our presence here, our participation, is according to our essential non-existence. And in the same vein, I'm reminded of the first time Hudai came to meet Uftada, when he walked up the hill in all his Qadi's robes, resplendent. By the time he reached this little place at the top of this very, very steep hill, his clothes were spattered in mud and he was fairly probably worn out. And he sees this old man hoeing a field. And the man sees Hudai, this is Uftada, and says, "What a pity, Qadi Effendi." He was the judge, you see, he was very elevated. "You knocked on the wrong door. Here is the door of non-existence, and we are slaves at the gate of non-existence. As for you, you are a person of the door of existence. We too would not be able to get on together. You have knowledge and learning, fame, honor, wealth, property. Yours is a prosperous life. Slaves such as us do not have anything except God." At this point, Hudai declares that he has abandoned everything. So the proposal is that we begin this convocation from that point, returning to the point of essential non-existence, our essential agreement, and ask to be increased in knowledge from that point. So I'd now like to hand over to Hakim.
Thank you. That was my introductory paragraph.
One moment.
I'd like to ask if you can hear me at the back. So, as Rahmani said, this is, in some senses, a culmination of a year of preparation for the restarting of the six-month course. Now, we don't know whether the six-month course has a place in the scheme of things and whether it's going to continue year after year as we always thought it would, at least I did. Until 4 years ago, I think it was, there was no six-month course because there were no students. Actually, there was one. But we couldn't really call it a six-month course. And that gave rise to the events that Rahmani was describing. And we knew then that something was afoot. And that there needed to be quite deep self-scrutiny and reconsidering what it was that we were doing and how we were doing it, and whether it was fit for purpose, as they say. I, for one, believed in these courses. I believed that they would effectively go on forever, more or less as they were, because they had been so extraordinarily well received by us, of my generation, completely transformative, and I believed that this would continue to be the case for people like me who wanted to find this source of change in their lives. So I think we probably fell behind the curve. At the same time, the that essential quality, even quality doesn't quite do it justice, that essential essentiality that was present in those courses early on, beginning 40 years ago, has continued ever since and is still here in evidence and present for all comers. Those of us who are here become a little inured to this essential quality. But when people come freshly, they receive it. They recognize something and say, ah, this is something different. I'd never thought of life like this. And this is before anything's really been said to them. I'm not talking about everyone, of course, but people who have obviously been prepared to come here in whatever way, life circumstances, whatever, their essential request, find something just by coming here. And then they might go on to do courses, or they might not. They might go away and work with it, or whatever. In a way, that's up to them. But what I've come to over the years is that this is a special place here, and it is a very precious gift. And it isn't at all usual. Bulent said this. And he said that what is particular about this place is the combination of a place with a wisdom. A place with a wisdom. It's embedded. Or maybe it is the place itself. And that almost irrespective of what goes on here. Because this place has been set aside for this purpose, for people to come here and benefit. I believe that they can benefit in quite a number of ways. One of which is attending courses. And it's not the only one. As I say, it might be that someone simply has to come here in order to see something that they need to see. We hope that that thing might lead on to them attending courses. But perhaps that's wishful thinking on our part. Maybe that's not what they need. So what I am certain of is that this place, and by the way, when I say this place, I mean an arena in which the one essential reality exposes itself in a certain way. In a certain way where the thickness of the veils are not so prevalent. I don't know how it is in Arabic, but certainly in Hebrew, Hamakom is the name of God. So I'm not setting this place up as something, you know, in any idolatrous sense, but it's simply something that I've observed, and I'm sure you all have in your own way, over the years. And what I also know from myself is that it informs. It informs of itself, of what we need to know. And sometimes, of course, we're deaf, or partially deaf, or studiously deaf. But eventually the message gets through. We say we want to know. Well, what we want to know can inform us. And that is so wonderful to know, that that's the order of things. That we can't know anything by dreaming it up for ourselves. You know, that's opinion, that's our imagination, that's our conjecture. But if we really want to know, we have to let that aside. Let it go. So that we can be receptive to that which wants to be known. And didn't the one reality love to be known? Yes. And it does. So this isn't at all the order that I was going to speak about. What I was going to say was that 28 years ago, Bulent died. 28 years ago to the day. I am eternally grateful to him. There's a manner of showing that which, for me, is holding on to him. And I believe it is time to let him go. Now, please understand this properly. Letting him go means letting my understanding, memories, anecdotes, so on, letting all that go. It is not letting that essential reality go. And it is our sincere request that even if we let go, it does not let go of us. So what we're letting go of is our belief. And people will say, well, you know, if we let go of our belief, doesn't that mean that we let go, if, you know, the baby goes down the plug hole with the water? No, there's no such possibility. Because what this let's say invocation, but I really mean a contemplation. A contemplation which we can engage in is there is no God but God. And we said it last night in the zikr. La ilaha illallah. There's no God but God. There's no reality but the reality. There is no self but the self. The only thing that we can let go of, that we can really let go of, is our own creations. Because that which ever is remains. Right? And of course you'll recognize that. That which never was passes away, while that which ever is remains. So this is the one essential reality, other than which there is not, which remains. So in letting go, of our beliefs, our creations, there's no danger of letting go of that which remains. Because in our letting go, that which remains shows itself. So this is my stance here. We've had this extraordinary 40 years in which things have been built up. There's been a wonderful creation. And now I think it's time to let it all go and see what remains. That's what we've been doing over this year. This Rahmani quoted the meeting of Hudai for the first time with Uftade. Uftade, this invocation of there is no God but God was very, very dear and precious to him. It was what he travelled by and what he advises students to travel by. There is no God but God. And he said that the first part, the negation, which is also part of the affirmation, the negation is best said sometimes, very loudly. Because the self is very hard of hearing. So he's saying this not to God, because God already knows this, but to the self, which thinks it has some sort of existence of its own. And the self is substantiated by all the things that it's attracted to, attached to, real things as well as imaginary things. So to say this loudly to begin with, because it takes a while to cotton on. The fact, oh gosh, this means me, and then when this establishes itself, this way of being, this contemplation, then it can even out into an equal emphasis on the negation and the affirmation. But to begin with, we need to say this really quite strongly. And that's what I'm suggesting now, for this time, at the end of this 40-year period, so we can make a fresh start. Bulent said, as Rahmani mentioned, that there are four pills we have to take. The first, that we're absolutely certain that there's only one being in existence. That's a pill. The second is we need to keep everything clean. Morally, mentally, physically, even financially, he said. And I think this applies also to our beliefs. In fact, most of our work here is about our beliefs and what we believe and what we haven't looked at yet and the wrong things that can really hold us up and trip us up. And that we'd be so much better off when we're without them. So, obviously, there's a fear in doing this that there's going to be nothing left. But it is just that. It's a fear. And a fear is a worry that there won't be anything there. Well, there will be. It is impossible that there be an empty space. Empty of me, empty of my creations, of course. And that's what we hope for. What will remain? The one remaining reality will remain. And this is a work, it's an ongoing work, and I think there are some times, like now, when we really have to focus and say, yes, indeed. So going back to what I said about letting Bulent go, I mean, no more than what Abu Bakr said when the Prophet died, which, if I can remember, those of you who are wont to worship Muhammad, Muhammad is dead, while those of you who are wont to worship the one God, he is the living and never dies. So, where are we? Bashara is good news from him that he is, and there is not with him a thing. So, I believe it is incredibly important that we don't set up something beside him. That is, we don't create a Bashara. Bashara is nothing but the spirit of announcement from him of his own reality. And so it seems to me that we really need to keep that clean. Because the worst thing that could happen, well, I don't know about the worst thing, but something that could happen is that we create a way, we create a tariqa, we create a fixed system of belief that we all believe in and subscribe to. And that is bound to be exclusive. It can't be anything else. Well, never mind, you can ask me about that if you like. So however much we study and learn, There needs to be some sort of an undoing as we go along. So that we can learn afresh. And not add on more and more bits to our knowledge. Because then we're in this strange situation of of attempting to be almost like God, you know, who knows everything and we know nothing. So we rely on him to inform us moment by moment of how he is right now. So this is something that, you know, I alluded to in the letter that I sent to you about the change in name. It is impossible that in letting go of this name here at Chisholm, and that's all I'm talking about, that quality will dissipate or fly away or something like that. It is that quality will be exactly like the spirit in the body. And it will be covered by this envelope of the body of this name of this place, which is the Chisholm Institute. Everything that goes on here will be of Bhushana. Do you understand? It's simple. It's a simple relationship of spirit to body. That's all. And that this is happening, I think, is an extraordinarily great blessing. You know, I know people will think this is my idea and, you know, I've gone off the rails and things like that. But I can assure you that is not how it is for me. There is, in the order of things, there are coverings. Deliberately so. So that when we see somebody, we don't say, oh, look, it's God. That's how things are. There are extraordinary gifts of knowledge and vision and so on and so forth, but they're covered up. And we have to unpack them and find them. Right? When people come here, they need to come here very easily. The ones who want to come. We mustn't put anything in their way. If we put something in their way which is high or they don't understand, that's our responsibility. Want people to come who need to come. The people who come here don't necessarily think of themselves as students. We have been absolutely graced by uh, 60 or 70 volunteers this year. I think it was more last year. They came to help. They didn't come to be helped. They came, someone said to me the other day, people keep asking me how they can help me. And he said, I just want to know what I can do. I want to know how I can help. This was a volunteer. This is what is necessary of the people who come here. The volunteers come here with this quality. They're the ones. We mustn't stop them by giving them the suggestion that they ought to really be students. And in some way, coming here as volunteers, they're in some way, you know, second class, not quite making the grade. They're the ones who need to come. And some of them will discover that they can actually really benefit by studying. And maybe then they'll think of themselves as students. This is just an instance, but I'm sure I don't need to, you know, give you more and more examples of what I'm talking about. Another thing that we had to reconsider, well, it's the same thing actually. Our students coming on the six-month course came to find a more or less fixed body of staff to receive them. And they were taken care of in all kinds of ways. And then it was noticed at the end of the six-month course that they'd been here for the full 6 months, and some of them didn't know how to turn the gas on in the kitchen. You know, something's wrong here. So we're looking for a different way of doing things, which I think is much more of the spirit of the beginning, whereby people who come who are ready and wanting to help, wanting to be of service, immediately get given some responsibility that we'll be stretching, and then we who are here support them in that. Or we who aren't here support them in that. You know, I'm including all of you in this. And we have some volunteers who have only been here for quite a short time, who, you know, they've put on this for you, for us. And of course, they didn't know where things were, so they had to be told where to find things and things like that. That's the support. But they were the ones, they are the ones, who have put this on. Yeah? And this, I think, is very much of the spirit of the beginning that I was talking about in that letter. Yeah? We need to find that. We need to find beginner's mind. Yeah? If we haven't found beginner's mind, we really need to get out of the way. Yeah? But I think we are all capable of finding that beginner's mind welcoming the new. Bulent said there's no other purpose in an old man other than being in service to the future. Well, we're not quite there yet, but some of us. But we're getting there, you know. We need to be in service to the future. And to let people know about this place, let people know about this provision. Once again, please understand that in this, I'm only talking about here. I'm not talking about, you know, what anyone else has to do in their in their service, which are manifold ways. But here, we need to be in service to the future. So, as for me, you know, I really want to get out of the way. For that, I don't know in what way I am of that. I won't know until I go. But I do know that this place will inform of itself for those who want to be of service. Few regrets? Do you want to hear a few regrets? I wish I'd known earlier about what constituted the brought about NAFs. I wish I'd known more about attachment much earlier on. I wish I'd understood conjecture, the power of conjecture. And what a wonderful friend and what a dangerous misleader. It's all in the Fasus. I blame only myself for not having read it properly. The way we can mislead ourselves by wrong supposition, which then lays claim to us and takes us into very, you know, very dangerous areas. And also about mirroring. Didn't say that very well. Being a mirror to one another. You know, the possibility there of real, let's call it unconditional positive regard. Why not? Which is, we've been calling it here, agreement to someone. Agreement to you can be completely unconditional, whoever and whatever you are, and whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, it is also, I think, what we agree to God. We agree to God to be God, and we agree to be the servant. Am I not your Lord? Yes, indeed. So that's what I mean by agreement too. And we can be like that with each other. We don't agree with God. This would be the height of arrogance, wouldn't it? I think he was quite right to do that. it's sharing in his knowledge of the mystery of destiny or something like that, which actually we know nothing about. So we don't agree with God, and we don't need to agree with each other, but we do need to agree to each other if we're wise, because that's how we are. And if we think we have to agree with each other, then, you know, we get a bigger and bigger body of people who all agree. And how dull and, oh God, you know, a reality is not like that. So it's pretense, it's conjecture. So there has been a kind of a labelling of Bishara, a labelling of a body of people by this name Bishara, which I think is something very much to be avoided, because once again it's an appropriation of something that belongs to the spirit. Mm. So I think that is something that we really need to be cautious of. And of course we'll do it. We'll do it from time to time. Can I quote you? Someone asked Marie, oh, she says it's happened quite a few times actually. How many other Bishara people are there in Norway? It's that kind of thing. So that's something to let go of. So I think it's probably time to stop talking. Can I return to this theme or contemplation of there is no God but God? I think if we can stay with this over this weekend, it will be a sheer delight. And I hope we have a wonderful weekend. Deep, profound, expansive, joyful. And thank you. Thank you very much for listening.